We're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 3 and verses 12 to 17 this evening. And if you want to have that open, keep your thumb in it. Perhaps you'd like to come with me as well to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. We'll start, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And we'll go back to the passage that we're actually going to be thinking about in a second. 1 Peter 2:9. I wonder who you think you are. Sometimes that expression is used in a very negative way, isn't it? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? But I wonder who we think we are this evening. It's quite an important question. We understand who we are. Who we are in Christ. And I wonder what our identities are based on. Our identities on schools. Is there a problem with it? Does it need? See if that makes any difference. Some of us would be inclined to base our identities on the school we might have been to, or the family we came from, or the area of the country perhaps, or maybe even by the size of our houses, or what we drive, or the amount of money in the bank. But you know, our identity as believers is not based on any of those things. It's based on the fact that we belong to the Lord, and that changes everything. Let's read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It tells us about ourselves. I wonder whether we consider ourselves in these terms. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your souls. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. A chosen people. A royal priesthood. A holy nation, a people belonging to God. That's something really special, isn't it? A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. So, you know, we all, if we are believers, have the blue blood of heaven coursing through our veins, don't we? Because we are in Christ, we are told. We are a royal priesthood. We are sons and daughters of the living God, and that's an amazing privilege, but it's a fact. And although we've got a royal family, and we're all very fond of them, I'm sure, you know, each of us as believers is part of the royal family of heaven. And as such, it's important that we behave in such a way that we bring honour to that family. Prince Harry is known for his slight waywardness in the past. And Prince Harry recently has been, I think, on a bit of a mission to create a different impression of himself. And he's been portrayed in a much more positive light by the media. But you know, Prince Harry was born a prince. He was born a prince. And the problem with Prince Harry was that he didn't always behave like a prince. And you know, we are prince and princes and princesses of heaven, and the Lord wants us now to behave like we are princes and princesses of heaven. Let's turn to the passage that we're actually going to be looking at, which is in Colossians and chapter 3. I'm actually going to read, I just really want to read from the beginning of the chapter. I know it's probably been covered, but I want to read it for the sake of connection, if that's okay. Colossians 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Okay, this is the passage we're looking at, 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What's a great passage, isn't it? Really great passage. Starts with a therefore, and you know, in good tradition, when it says therefore, you're supposed to ask what it's there for, aren't you? If it says therefore, it's because something else has been said. So what is the therefore about? Well, Paul is saying that you are different to what you used to be because you have a standing in Christ. When you came to Christ, you became a child of God. So you have a position which is different from what it used to be. You didn't used to be part of his family. You were an enemy, and now you've been brought near. You've been changed. You're different. God sees you as his son or his daughter. You've been brought into his family. Something has changed. You're not the person you used to be. You've put on the new self. God has changed you. He has given you a new heart. He has made you a totally new creation. And since that is the case, there are things that need to change. Now, the chapter begins with Paul setting that scene as well. You're no longer the people you used to be. Therefore, there are things that you need to stop doing. And then he comes back just at the beginning, just at the end of that previous passage in verse 11. You have a standing in Christ. You're not the people you used to be. Therefore, there are now things that you need to do. This is your standing. There are things that you need to do. This is our identity in the Lord. Therefore, we need to actually live in a way that matches up to the standing that he's given us. See, Prince Harry has had to try and live up to the position that he has. He is a royal prince. Now he needs to behave like one. We are royal princes and princesses. There are things that we don't do because it's not compatible with our state, with our standing, with our position in Christ. And there are things that we need to do because those are, and things need to change. So we come into the section where the Lord is saying to us through his servant Paul, these are the things that should characterize you. This is what it should look like in community, in your situation, with one another. First of all, you're a chosen people. You're holy and you're dearly loved. You've been chosen. You realize that our names were written down before the beginning of the world, before the foundations of the earth were laid. That's amazing, isn't it? That God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Incredible. But it's true. We are chosen. That gives us respect, doesn't it? That gives us an understanding. That should give us an understanding of who we are. It says we're holy. We're holy. That means we're set apart. We've been set apart for God, and we're set apart for his glory. And we're dearly loved. Well, we know that we're dearly loved. That love was shown to its greatest extent when the Lord Jesus gave himself on the cross. And that's what we're going to be remembering later on. We're chosen. We're holy. We're dearly loved. We're not holy necessarily practically, but that's what the apostle wants us to get hold of. That we are holy in standing. Now we need to be holy in the way that we live. We are set apart to God because we belong to him. We've been adopted into his family. Now we've got to start living like it. In the previous part of the chapter, it's really talking about things that we need to put off. It's got this idea of getting dressed and undressed. In this case, it's putting off old clothes and putting on new ones. There's a passage in Romans 12 and 13 that kind of talks about this as well. But he says, these are the things that you need to put on. You need to put on the correct gear, if you like, the correct clothing that matches with your status. Prince Harry, most of the time now, if he's doing an official visit, would be wearing the right clothes. He would look a bit funny if he was wearing a t-shirt and shorts when he was actually conducting an interview with the Prime Minister of Jamaica, I think it was recently. He was dressed appropriately. And that Paul is saying, we need to, in our spiritual walk with the Lord, we need to be dressed appropriately. This is what we should be wearing. This is how we should be living. Firstly, we need to be demonstrating compassion. And we need to be demonstrating kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. It's interesting if you contrast those with the things that he says that we shouldn't be doing, if you think about it. We need to be showing compassion rather than showing anger. So instead of getting angry with people now, we're not going to do that. He wants us to actually show compassion to them, to understand that they are flawed and failing just as we are. He says that we should demonstrate kindness rather than rage. You know, rage usually leads to unkind acts towards other people, and yet kindness is the complete opposite of that. That's the sort of thing that should characterize us. Humility, contrasted with malice. Humility, taking the lower place, rather than plotting in our hearts to do other people down. Gentleness versus slander. The gentleness, I understand the word really means to do with denying ourselves, rather than, again, trying to get one over on other people. We should be willing to take whatever comes, even if it's difficult at sometimes. We were thinking about that gentle answer that turns away wrath this morning with the children. And we should demonstrate patience rather than filling our mouths with filthy language. And often when people aren't patient, they get cross, and eventually out of their mouths comes things that shouldn't come. So these are the kind of things that the Lord wants us to put on. There's all the other ones to go off, but these are the things to put on. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I wonder how much of that actually characterizes us as individuals, and how much characterizes our fellowship. I wonder whether we do deal with one another with compassion. Do we realize that other people are flawed? Are we kind to them in the way that we behave? Do we take the humble place? Are we gentle in our response, and are we patient with them? He goes on that we should bear with each other. Bear with each other. Forbearance. Don't be too prickly. Don't get cross too easily. Bear with other people. Remember that they are failing and flawed just as we all are. And forgive, he says, whatever grievances you may have against one another. So don't be too quick to take offence in the first place. But if something does happen, be quick to forgive. And to forget. We are to forgive as the Lord forgave us. Well, how did the Lord forgive us? He forgave us freely, and he forgave us fully, and he remembers our sins no more. I wonder how many of us hold on to grudges, hold on to hurts, hold on to irritations and annoyances, and sometimes it can go on for years. But we are to forgive fully and freely, and we are to forgive utterly. We are to forget that and move on. I'm sure there would be a lot more happiness in many church fellowships if people could do that. Maybe that's something we need to be thinking about. This is not an option that Paul's giving here. It's not a list of choices that we can make. We're commanded to do this. We are to forgive as Christ forgave us, as the Lord forgave us. And over all these things, over these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The motivation for all of these things should be love. The love that's been given to us now has to be practically demonstrated. And love will bring compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Over all these things, put on love which binds them together. So we've got things in the earlier part of the passage that we're no longer to do because of our standing. And we've got things here which we are now to do because of our standing. And how are we to do these things? Well, Paul goes on, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So we're to put these things off and we're to put these things on. And we're to do it by allowing the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts so that he is the centre of what we do. That we understand that because our relationship has been put right with God, that therefore relationships should be put right with one another. We have to have our eyes, as he begins at the beginning of the chapter, have to have eyes looking to heaven rather than looking down to the earth. We need to be remembering whose we are and who we serve. We've been brought into a relationship of peace. God calls us to spread that amongst ourselves. That is what we should be doing. We're to live at peace with each other because we are at peace with God. And we're to let his word dwell richly in us. Firstly, we let his word come to us. And then we share his word amongst us. And then we give his word back to him as we praise him. And I think if we could just remember that we are the citizens of heaven, that we are the sons and daughters of the King, and that we could allow his word to dwell in us richly, receiving it, sharing it, and offering it back to him, that actually is the answer to what Paul is suggesting. That's the way that we can begin to put these things off and the way that we can take these characteristics on. And these characteristics, of course, are the characteristics of God. They're the characteristics of the Lord Jesus. If you look at what he says in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, these are the characteristics that the Lord showed, and these are the characteristics that he wants in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking, and envying one another. You see, the reason that we are to do all of these things is because that is the character of the Lord Jesus himself. He was compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. He bore other people's ill treatment and their unpleasant words. And he forgave, and he has forgiven us fully and freely and finally. Whatever we do in word or deed, we are to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything that we do is to be for his glory. You see, the whole idea is that our walk needs to match our talk. And so often it doesn't, and yet that's not how it should be, and that's not what God wants from us. And the apostle is encouraging us that everything that we say must be matched up by how we live, so that the Lord Jesus is honoured and glorified. Because God's desire for you and for me is that we actually get transformed into the image of his Son. Sometimes I wish he would hurry up with me, because it's taking a little bit of time. But that's his goal, isn't it, for us? To change us into the image of his Son. And that his Son should be seen in us. And that as people see us living in a way that honours him and glorifying him, they are drawn to him as well. So the words that we preach are matched up by the actions that we live. The whole thing works together. And Christ is seen in us. Well, we've come this evening to give thanks for everything that's been done. We come to praise God for his Son. And in his Son we see those amazing characteristics. Often people will say to us, won't they, oh well, you know, Christianity is just about a whole load of things that you mustn't do. Well, you read this passage, this is about things that God wants us to do. He wants us to be. It's not about negatives, this is about positives. This is about how God wants his people to live in a way that is radically different to the world around. And those things are the characteristics of our Lord Jesus, who was perfect, who was sinless, and who gave himself for us. We remember that he offered himself as a sacrifice for us. We need to offer ourselves as sacrifices to one another and honour his name as we do so. Let's just sing together.